The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside also. On a Thursday. By the way, we not only get tweets, we get texts. Always appreciate that regular guest of the show watch the show or listen to the show. Sweet Lou Finicaro, Gambaloo on Twitter. He is a resident of the state of Arizona. He has updated us. He has said Sport Trade is in fact live in Arizona. So for all you folks who live in Arizona, Sport Trade live already, ready to go. Virginia, you're coming up in a couple weeks. And then we were talking about the Jaguars there when we did our shot or no shot segment. And Steve Fezzik texting in saying, Jags under 6.5 wins. Good bet. Exclamation point, he adds. When he puts an exclamation point, you know, he's very serious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. It is 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. You know what that means. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. I try to say it quicker and quicker just to fluster the guys back there.
Oh, okay.
See if they can catch up to the... Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger. See if we do it real quick. Bill Krakenberger, ladies and gentlemen, he comes in here, the iconic Bill Krakenberger with his Kangol. You feeling better? Your legs better?
It's getting there. I was supposed to be away this weekend, and I'm not going. So
because of your leg?
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, it's healing up though, but it's still as you can see. I mean,
well, your leg modeling days are over.
Yeah, leg modeling days are
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
So I walked in here, but you know, listen, things happen, and you know, it does. Yeah, it bothered me. I had a bad day yesterday. My leg. Yeah, I was out for like 10 hours, and I was out. Then it hurt me the whole day. But
I hope you feel better.
Well, thank you. Listen, I have so many tickets to cash that I bet from March of, believe it or not, March Madness of last year. I have so many tickets to cash back east that I just don't want to expire.
March of 2024, you're talking though, right?
March of 2024.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I used to go back to Jersey all the time, and I don't do it no more because, let's face it, there's not a lot of places I can walk in and bet. No, you know, Atlantic City had a FanDuel retail. They closed it down. They had a DraftKings that was okay in resorts. They're taking like $250 at the window on props. They closed all the kiosks. The backpack guys ruined that for everybody. You know, they now when I say backpack guys, they're groups of that literally bet together. You know, they'll bet even tonight a player prop. So they would bet, you know, Dallas, Dak Prescott under yards. Okay, guys, 5-4-3-2-1. It's like the old Billy Walters days when he had a sweatshop with, you know, eight guys around with phones and you're dialing sports books. Same similar thing with backpack guys. They were all betting the props at different kiosks together at the same time.
They figured out.
Circumventing.
The books did. So circumventing, right? Books figured out that the kiosks were their leak, in other words. We have stories where guys were using kiosks. They weren't doing anything at certain shops for DraftKings in certain remote locations. And the guys behind the desk would come sprinting out at them. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, they take it so personal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't even know you knew. Like, you even knew about this.
I think we might have the same story.
They come from behind the counter. Yeah. Like, I was threatened in FanDuel in Atlantic City. It was at Bally's at the time. And I was making some bets. And I was making some $800 bets. And I went over to $2,400. I was up to my third bet. And a kid came out of the back like he was John Gotti.
Oh, I remember your story.
Like he was John Gotti. Comes out of the back and says, I'm canceling the next bet you make. And, of course, me. The way he talked to me, I told him to go F himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I went off on him.
Wow.
And, you know, just, you know, talk to me like a man. I'm not going to let no punk kid talk down to me anyway. It's not going to happen. I'm no tough guy, but I play one on VSiN. So,
not Bill Krakenberger.
No, but I mean, just, you know, I'm just not going to allow that. You know what I mean? And they take it so personal. Listen, these people that work behind the counter sometimes don't even realize what their job is. That's Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about a very sensitive subject. These things just come up spontaneously. When the M first opened, Cantor Gaming was in town. By the way, the book that got thrown out of town and, probably the reason people don't talk about this. Probably the reason why other sports books have a hard time getting in this town is because of what went down with Cantor Gaming. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons. You know, just like the, we always talk the same quote from Casino, Mr. Rothstein, you people will never know how it works out here. You're all just our guests.
All just our guests.
Well, I want to tell you, Cantor Gaming fined, I think they had to levy the biggest fine. I think it was $26 million and $8 million. $35 million, let's call it, in fines against them for the way they went about their business.
Under the Colbert administration back
then? And listen, I was okay with Mike. Mike and I were great. I actually felt bad for him, you know, for what happened to him. Because they had a lot of charges there that were totally, totally built up and wrong. But, however, they offered the live wagering project product first.
Yes.
If you remember.
2010-ish.
Wow. Is that 2010?
Andrew Garud was the developer of the Midas algorithm.
Well.
And it was like this one spot that you could, and it was one game a day.
Yeah. Yes.
It was like,
oh my God, it was one game.
It was like one game a day.
So sick.
And they would and they would market it, right? They'd be like 4 p.m. At the time, the Indians versus the Yankees. And it was like, how many people care to do this?
It's funny you're talking about Indians. There was an Indian person who worked at the sports book he didn't think about it. He did not know his job. He was actually a nice kid. He thought his job, I know this is going to be a very sensitive thing, and people that maybe worked at Canada are going to say, I can't believe Bill Quackenberger's talking about that. Listen, he thought his job was to deny bets that had an advantage. In other words, that he felt. In other words, a live bet came in. You're on a delay, and if he waited until the next pitch.
Oh yeah.
And then pressed the deny button if it was good for the player.
They were notorious for that.
Oh, so you, this is out there, right?
It is with you and I. Yeah, with you and me.
Okay. I don't remember discussing it, but I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
Listen. Let's put it in layman's terms. They were cheating.
Of course they were.
They were cheating.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So that's and that's why.
But that's
about,
that's no different than
he didn't
today.
Know any better.
Right.
He actually didn't think he was cheating. He thought his job was to do that. So
I see.
He really did.
He thought that was his job description. But that's no different than today, where we always advise people like, hey, don't live bet like in between pitches,
100%,
or in between points in tennis.
Oh, God,
wait till the commercial because they will absolutely roll you. They'll spin you.
And listen, we're not saying everyone cheats. We're not saying that, but. I just don't want to get free rolled. And I'll tell you what, the delay is a lot more. I just put a video up on Twitter about this. The delay is a lot more than you think. The delay, we used to say, 6 to 8 seconds to 10. No way. It's 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a TV delay. There's a delay. There's multiple delays here. So,
you know, as you're talking about this, I do want to make one point because I don't want to gloss over it. Now we take it for granted that you should not be making live wagers in between pitches, in between points in tennis, in between whatever event is happening in a way that that they can actually spin you. Now we sort of take it for granted. It doesn't even affect us. But I remember the first time, you know, that revelation happened at Cantor where it's like, they're cheating. I remember being so naive at that time where I'm like, are you serious? They're actually watching the play before us and they're doing that? Like, do you remember having that feeling? Like, we were like, I can't believe these people are doing that.
Jimmy the prop guy got thrown out. He was not allowed to back in Cantor.
Jimmy the prop guy.
He got thrown out for calling them out.
Yeah.
Going to the counter and actually having to have a conversation.
Because they were totally doing it. But I just, maybe you didn't have that thought, but I remember at that time, and this is what, 15 years ago almost.
Yeah.
14 years ago, where you're like, wow, are they really watching the play before we are? Of course they are.
Yeah, and we're not trying to pick on Canner and their.
But it goes
on everywhere. They were the first ones here in town. It goes on in many places. So, Gil, as I'm walking in here, I'm walking into the building today, embarrassingly, I didn't know the singer, but I knew because my wife wanted to go see Lionel Richie and the iHeart Festival. So we went to go, and the guy that opened up, I talked about this before here.
Lionel Richie, by the way, still sounds great.
Great.
Like 70 something.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Tom Jones this weekend, by the way.
Oh, you know, Tom Jones.
Still going strong. You know, we're going to be over at the Wynn this weekend. So Pitbull.
Every woman in their 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Just getting
throwing up their bloomers.
Yeah.
I call them bloomers. At this age, they're bloomers. At this time, they used to be their little
bloomers. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. But. So Pitbull opened up the festival, and I was blown away because I really didn't know him. And I came in here talking about him today. I said one of his songs was just not, I don't know the names of the songs, but that music just makes you move. Now, when Bill Krakenberger moves, I mean, he moves.
It speaks to you.
It speaks to you.
It taps your soul, Bill.
It really does. I was like, wow, I gotta download some of his songs. I gotta get rid of these Sinatra, Tom Jones, and put Pitbull on a little bit.
Mr. Worldwide, that's your guy.
I didn't know it was his name, but yeah. I heard that before. Anyway, walking in though, I'm looking over the sports book here.
Thank you, guys.
I was just thinking about it, and, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to use the word that Gil says, we're too close to the sun. This means so much more to so many good people, the hardworking 9-to-5 jobs, whether they work in a factory or work from home. It's such a release being on vacation, coming to Las Vegas, seeing the sports book here.
Well, this one especially, this, right?
I mean, just seeing the sports
look
book.
Look at this thing.
And escalators take you down into the stadium seating. This is such a big deal. I mean, just look at that. Look at your crew, how good they are. It just means so much more to a lot of people. Even the guys that are in the back here, we see it every day. You take it for granted. That's no big deal. But, you know, even like the Westgate, too. These are super booked. The vacation aspect, just coming into here. And what it does, though, is always Bill's always has a little teaching angle. It makes you bet more. You feel compelled. You're here.
That's right, yeah.
I have to bet more because I am in the Mecca. Just let me get some kind of action in. But, you know, it does. It makes you bet more, especially a Thursday night. Coming in for the weekend, you come in a day early. Let me go see the Giants-Dallas game, flying Thursday. Yeah. Flying into here, and it's probably going to make you bet more.
Can you guys show that wide shot of Circa again, the background there for a second? Look at that. Let's see the screen there, though, on the left, Bill. I couldn't help but notice that when I walk in, the money line, Visa money line, is on the big screen. But during a numbers game, not us.
Yeah, I mean,
not us.
There's a lot of bums on that screen.
I don't know. They're not really interested in us.
No, I don't know what happened.
As always, Bill, blatant anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe all not. No, maybe not. We're kidding. It's a joke, for God's sakes. More with Crackman, unscripted with Bill Krakenberger on the other side here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Looking for some action? Not that kind of action. Get your head out of the gutter. Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com, that's the number one stbet.com. OneSTBet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, it is a numbers game here on a Thursday, unscripted with the Crackman Bill Krakenberger. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Motor City Mike at window_casher. He says, also grabbed, so talking about the baseball bets now, he said, also grabbed Seattle at 40-1 to be the sixth seed this morning. Talking about late season baseball bets due to Kansas City finishing with 3 at Atlanta and Seattle finishing with 3 home games versus the A's. Season series is 3-3. Lead will be 2 or 3 after today. So grabbed Seattle at 40-1. It's going to be tough for Seattle. Absolutely going to be tough. Again, 2.5 games behind both the Tigers and the Royals right now. Motor City Mike also adds, he says, still getting good baseball bets late in the season. I grabbed Cleveland to be the number one seed yesterday at 13-1 based on the Yanks' inability to beat Baltimore, a game left versus Skeens, and Cleveland closing with 3 at home versus the Astros, who are playing for nothing. Only 5-1 today. That right there is a nice little bet already with your CLV. We'll see if that can cash for you. This is from, let's see here, Jeremiah Westgate. Hey, Gil, I know you have sort of been a seller of the Bills preflop, as was I, but has your outlook changed at all? Looks like they've sort of pivoted in their style on both sides so that perhaps their roster changes aren't as bad as first thought. I mentioned this when they crushed the Jaguars, that I was completely wrong about the Bills. And Josh Allen, by the way, I wasn't completely wrong about him. Their best play is Josh Allen tucking it under and running. He is first in every possible category you can come up with in terms of quarterback, both conventional and advanced metrics. He is your MVP leader in the clubhouse after just 3 games. So good on the Bills. They banked 3 wins. I still lean Jets in that division, ultimately down the road, but we shall see. Bills doing nothing wrong at this point. Game Time Jones. Before the season started, I round robined Astros, Yankees, and Orioles with the Cubs, Cards, and Mets. I got the Mets versus Astros, he says, at 150-1. Mets O's 150-1, Mets Yankees 151. Let's go Mets. LGM for Game Time Jones. Very invested in the New York Metropolitans. And Hump Day Hockey, Mandy Davison says, the bear knows value. Talking about Chris Velika. Don't be scared to dabble in the NHL preseason market like other preseason action. Just knowing who's going to be in the lineup can lead you to some value. Absolutely. Not disparaging it at all. And this is from D-Gen Southern Gent. Oh, I love this question. He says, I don't care about the rest of your audience. I love when you guys do sports talk radio. I propose the question, what's the MLB equivalent of Derrick Rose? Whoever it is, he ain't getting to Cooperstown. Okay, I have a couple ways to answer this question. The MLB equivalent of Derrick Rose, I guess what you're talking about is who was really good, then got hurt, and then never sort of, the stats didn't accumulate after that. I'll have to think about an injury thing, but I will tell you who I think is the guy who is the most just unjustifiably snubbed from being out of the Hall of Fame in sort of modern day baseball. And that is Albert Bell, most notably of the Cleveland Indians and also later of the Baltimore Orioles. If you look at his numbers, there is just zero justification for him not being in the Hall of Fame, but he wasn't the most cuddly guy, let's be honest about that. And so that went a long way, I suppose, with these baseball writers, their pretentiousness, keeping him out of the Hall. But he is the biggest snub to me in terms of modern MLB history. I'll have to think of, like, who was a player that started really well, then got hurt, and then tapered off? That is a good question, but I'll have to think on it. But
Albert Bell's great. Oh my God. You almost surprised me there.
Yeah.
I can't believe he got snubbed like that.
His stats are ridiculous.
Jesus.
Ridiculous. And he's not in because, again, it's funny. You do this long enough. National baseball writers, and again, it's baseball. So you wonder why they justify their arrogance. Like you should probably be nicer and less pretentious about everything. But I won't name names here, but I can think of at least three off the top of my dome, right? Who like just thought that they had this perch of, you know, that was unassailable, that they could judge others, right? It's up the whole steroid era is a whole other conversation. But Albert Bell, it was not a steroid situation, and he was just putting up like colossal numbers.
Yeah.
And just because he wasn't a nice guy, they're like, I'm not voting for him.
Gil, I have a question for you.
Yes,
I
don't, sir.
What was your first year that you came to Las Vegas?
1995.
Okay. I came a little bit earlier than that. I came around 91, 92.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember there was unless you really subscribe to Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor, you may not know this place. There was a place down. It was down. I want to say it was on the Strip, but it was between Silverton and Silverton's not on the Strip, but it was on that road. What's that? That's Blue Diamond, I guess.
Blue Diamond.
It was between Blue on the Strip, between Blue Diamond and where the South Point is, Silverado. There was a casino called Vacation Village. Have you ever heard of it?
I do not remember it, and I'll tell you why. Because when I used to come in those days,
you were normal.
I wasn't normal. It was the Strip, and there was nothing else.
There was nothing else. Okay.
We never ventured off the Strip.
So, yeah. Because I was such a sick person that I am to try to get the best of everything, and Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor was one of them. He used to say, hey, guys, the phone books are coming out, and, you know, you can go cut the aces out of the phone books around town. They have a free ace at the Lady Luck downtown. It's worth $10. I think it was actually $25. So your first card is the ace.
Literally cut it out.
Cut it out of the phone book. You put it up, and it's up to $25 on top of that, and your first card is an ace. So, yeah, that was like part one of the, you know, he gets a lot of deals, so he negotiates. But the one was Vacation Village. You could go in there, and you could spin one of those wheels. Remember the money wheels they used to have? Mm-hmm. They still probably have a couple places.
They do.
Well, there was one peg on the money wheel that was, you get your airfare back. So if you get off a plane within 24 hours, you show them your tickets.
Oh, how cool is
and,
that?
You know, I used to go, my wife and I were dating at the time, and you used to go spin, and she reminded me the other day, she goes, do you know how sick you were? You used to drag us from the airport, which is the first 24, to that Vacation Village. And every single time we get the same thing. a six pack of soda.
Man, she must have loved you.
A six pack of soda, and because you have to win something on the wheel. You know, you can win like a thermos. But yeah, you know, and back then we used to. She's
straight from the airport. To the vacation village.
Vacation village. They want, you know, they obviously don't want you to gamble, sit around gamble.
You know how Pitbull is Mr. Worldwide. Yeah. You're Mr. Romance.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you know, we used to come with like American Express traveler's checks. Remember them or no?
Oh my God. Before you, you remember traveler's checks
because you don't want to carry $700 cash.
Don't leave home without them.
Don't leave home without. Oh my God. Yeah. I always think you're like 10 years younger than me. Yeah. You're not.
No.
So, yeah. But. Yeah, and you used to take like traveler's checks, and you know. So now I'm thinking to myself, I took traveler's checks here a couple times when I was younger. You know, it used to come like $1,000, and you know, 35 years ago. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I don't make fun of people that use their credit cards in casinos and their Mac cards and their, you know, their bank cards, but I kind of understand a little bit more. Thinking now, my wife was telling me about the traveler's checks and how we used to be a little safe, don't carry cash, you know. And now it's worse than ever. I mean, you have to really keep your head on the swivel here. Mm-hmm. So,
sure.
I kind of understand a little bit more, especially if you get your bank fees refunded. Didn't you tell me you do that? You get your bank fees refunded if you use the machine.
Yes, some people will get the ATM fee refunded.
Yeah. Now I have a thing that I don't know if you talked about it. I'm sorry.
Before we move on to this, you said that's when you and your wife dated. What did Bill Krakenberger? What was dating like for Bill Krakenberger back in those days?
I've been with my wife for almost 38 years since we were 15.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we were actually separated for a while.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She messed up.
Okay. You know? She messed up.
No, listen. I was gone. I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
I remember. I was middling college basketball the year. Remember the year that whatever year the Stratosphere opened, it was a grand opening. It was like, you know, the 90s. Me and my original partner, we were middling. I was in Vegas 6 months out of the year. So it can really damper a relationship. It's very tough.
But you've known us since you're 15, so it's not like your standard dating situation.
No. We're very close.
I'm sorry. What was it that you wanted to talk about?
Do you guys know about this? I'm sure you had to talk about this. Someone did. This Survivor Sweat website.
Oh, yeah. You've brought it up, too.
Well, now this week was unbelievable what's happening.
Okay. Explain Survivor Sweat to
Survivor
people.
Sweat is a website. Now, I talked about the Survivor Sweat show. There's a show on that these guys have. It's a lawyer in town, Russell Rosenblum. Very, very intelligent, very, very smart, astute guy. Matter of fact, he got the biggest check from Circa, $3 million check 2 years ago. He was holding the check up. But
from Survivor?
Yeah.
Okay.
From Survivor. So he started this. They do a podcast, Survivor Sweat. But now they put a website up, Survivor Sweat. And I can't believe no one's talking about this. What it is people go there. They somehow tied it in legally. And I've talked to these guys. And they actually went to Derek and talked to Derek about this. And they have a website where they have put, it's a market up there where you could sell your entry, a piece of your entry. So
which you were a part of last year, right?
Yeah,
but not selling, but you bought.
I don't think it was on
part.
The site. Now I'm looking at the site and we'll talk about when we get back from break here. I can't believe what's going on this website right now. Yeah. I can't believe it. The market. It's unbelievable.
It's a contest that has spawned industries within itself. We'll get back to that. Crackman Unscripted right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circus, Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger alongside. I'm always fascinated by what little things spark interest in terms of listener feedback on the show. And just this little brief Hall of Fame thing that Kelly and I did about Derrick Rose, and then me sort of talking about baseball or someone tweeting in about baseball, and sort of now we're connecting the two. This has really sort of got people talking. Steven Wilkerson, the question was, what's the Derrick Rose equivalent? Because Derrick Rose has retired, and the question was, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not? What will voters decide to do in the NBA? And we had differing opinions on that. Steven Wilkerson says about what's the baseball equivalent, he said, or who's the baseball equivalent? Gil Rose baseball equivalent, maybe Chris Bryant? Four-time All-Star Rookie of the Year, 2016 MVP World Series winner, oft injured, but once he's done, will have accumulated stats. I don't know about that, Steven. I don't think he's accumulated nearly enough. He only has 184 homers career, 547 ribbies. Is that true? Am I looking at the wrong thing? I mean, it's not enough. There's not enough in Chris Bryant's career for me.
I can't be looking at the right stats there, but that is yeah, it's just he doesn't have enough. No, that's correct. 184 career homers and 547 RBI. It's not going to get him there. Nevada Azer, I thought about this when I was saying Albert Bell. He says, LOL, Albert, don't call me Joey Bell. Yeah, he didn't like that. That's for sure. You can have baseball cards with Joey on there. Here's an obvious one. Mike Trout is a D. Rose-like athlete. I think that's true. Trout is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's kind of similar to Derrick Rose. I think that's a pretty good comparison, Jim. Sparty, Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy's not like Derrick Rose in terms of the injuries, but Dale Murphy should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame.
100%.
He was a lock to get 37 homers every year. That was his number. Thank you, Sparty, on that. And this is a great one from Steve the Proxy. I wasn't thinking about pitchers. But honestly, Jacob deGrom, that's a great one. Peaked with back-to-back Cy Youngs. Likely would have been three if not for the 60-game COVID season. Only thing keeping him out of the Hall is injuries. He's a great equivalent to this. Because I think Trout has amassed the statistics where he's going to be in regardless of the injuries. And you can do some pretty interesting side-by-side comparisons with Trout and other players who are considered like replacement level, but have played long careers, and you would be astounded how competitive they are with Trout's counting stats because of Trout's injuries. But he'll be in the Hall for sure. Here's one more from Hillbilly Jim 88. Sure wasn't Pete Incaviglia. I vote no on Hall of Fame. Now I'm going to go no on Pete Incaviglia. I agree with you. Oh, one last one. I'm sorry. Brent Lalonde, any relation to Donnie Lalonde, former light heavyweight champion of the world, yeah. who Sugar Ray Leonard knocked out? Tommy John is the Derrick Rose of MLB. Injury left him just on the outside looking in. Yeah, I wasn't thinking pitchers, but Tommy John is sort of a Jacob deGrom of a previous era, though not quite as good as Jacob deGrom. Tommy John, of course, the reason that everybody calls the ulnar surgery on the elbows Tommy John surgery, and Tommy Lasorda famously quipped, well, thank God Billy Grabarkowitz didn't have that surgery, because to this day we'd be saying, you got Billy Grabarkowitz surgery on your arm? Even though he wasn't a pitcher. But Tommy John is a pretty good example from yesteryear. I like the DeGrom one the most, I think, of all of those, but Trout is pretty good, too. Anyway, that's, you never know what will inspire people to sort of just all these come tweets. Up with stuff. Yeah, yeah, with stuff. But that's the Hall of Fame discussion.
Cool. Going back to this this marketplace and Survivor Sweat.
Survivor Sweat. This is fascinating.
It's fascinating.
And it's a good-looking website,
it
too.
It is. And, you know, Gil, so, look, this person wants to sell 22% for $9,500, which that means he would value his entry at $43,182.
And the current intrinsic value is just over $22,000.
I don't get it. I don't get the markups. Well,
so let's talk about it. So the current intrinsic value is just over $22,000.
Right.
He's asking for more than double.
Double. Yeah, more than double.
Yeah,
you know, or double. So
almost exactly.
Even now, listen. So a buddy of mine said, "Well, listen, for a 1%, like right here, they're asking $333 for 1%. You have a little bit of a sweat. Okay, great. So it's worth." He's saying it's worth $33,300.
Right.
But for $333, I have 1% of a chance to win, to be part of a $14 million prize.
Yeah.
So I guess I get it. I was just surprised at the markups.
Well, the markups. That's the most amazing thing about this. So there's 642 remaining entries.
Yeah, 36 of them are on here right now, I think.
So this is the public version of what we saw some of the late entries, the last ones that were alive last year, let's say the last group. They were obviously making backdoor deals. Not backdoor, I don't mean to say it's nefarious, but they were making private deals.
Yep.
You bought into one. Steve Fezzik bought into one as well. And these are percentages that you're buying, but when you're doing the backdoor deals, if I may use that term, you're not buying them at a premium.
Absolutely correct.
You're buying them at a discount.
That's why this blows me away.
This is unbelievable.
And they're selling.
Yeah.
And they're selling. But, you know, like my friend said, oh, for $333, I have action. I have action now in the Survivor for $300 or
would you have guessed that?
If I had, no way.
No way.
No way.
But do you think that the folks who came up with his website, do you think they knew that it would go this way?
I think he kind of thought, like, you know, most of them, they're all marked up to be that kind of, I mean, this guy's selling 90% for $30,000. I mean, come on.
How much would you sell your entire, so you have, can
yeah,
I say this?
Yeah, I have one entry.
So I only, of the 642 entries.
I'm partners on one entry.
I only know three people who have entries.
Yeah.
Joe Pita has one entry left. I know Cleve's got one, and I know now you have one with your partner.
Yes, I'm partners on one entry.
Okay, so it's worth $22,000 plus dollars.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't get even if I got the $22,000. That's how much invested I am in these contests.
I know, right?
Emotionally speaking? Yeah. No, financially speaking.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, because you had how many total? Oh,
that's embarrassing.
Okay.
Embarrassing how much money I lost on these things so far.
So if you paid Bill $22,000, he's not nearly whole on this. But how much, like literally, if somebody came up to you right now and said, I'll give you $44,000 for your entry, would you take it right now?
I would entertain that number.
Yeah.
Yeah. That number I'd entertain because I get out for the season and, you know, and make a little money.
But people are, it's not just that they're offering, people are actually, or they're buying it.
Buying. A lot of them have sold already in the first 3 days of this week.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I just didn't know about the website and I met the guys that own it. They just take a little piece of it and but he's a lawyer and he's very intelligent and he put it together legally. And supposedly they have, all their ducks in line here what's going on?
Talk to Derek about it beforehand as well. Cleared it with Derek.
Yeah, like talk to Derek about it from what I know. I hope that's allowed to be talked about. Yeah, it's not.
A little cottage industry within Circus Survivor.
Interesting.
But
you didn't hear of it, so it's not really be out.
No. I heard.
You heard of that?
We heard of
that
it.
That marketplace.
Yeah, we heard of the marketplace.
I didn't know
the detail that is the revelation here is
markups.
That it's markups.
Every one of them. Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
So, what to do, Mr. Gill, this weekend? I have used Seattle, Houston, and the Jets.
Yes, sir.
On this one entry that I have left.
By the way, don't ask me. I'm out.
So,
yeah.
I was saying this is a no-brainer. San Fran is a no-brainer. My partner last night, he said, listen, San Fran is really banged up. New England's played some good close games, but out the window, besides the Jet game, they played really, they obviously beat Cincinnati, came real close to winning the second game. And, you know, I think it was the Seattle they played, I think they played the second game against. And he said, I think maybe we should play Cincinnati. I said, do you realize what Cincinnati has done to people in the first 3 weeks of this conference?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's like, listen, you're going to have like 60-65% of the people on San Fran. And you're talking about a banged up team, you know, whether it be Samuel, McCaffrey, and you can go on and on. They are banged up. So
Trent got hurt last week, but he did come back. Williams.
Yeah. We were all San Fran until last night. So we're actually debating taking the Bengals on the road.
Bengals are at the Panthers.
At the Panthers, who just had a great game. And
Niners are hosting the Patriots.
So it's just an interesting.
Let me respond to this.
Yeah.
So this is, by the way, your partner. I respect his game.
Yeah,
I respect what he's doing.
Right.
So what he is essentially anticipating, his strategy here is, listen, he's anticipating that like more than 50%, that might even be conservative.
Yep.
But a huge majority are going to be on the Niners because, of course, they're also, keep in mind, they're terrified now of all these upsets. And they're like, well, okay,
terrified.
We got to get San Francisco's a 10-point. This can't possibly lose. We got to do this.
Right.
So your partner is basically saying we are going for broke.
Right.
We are willing to fly into the side of a mountain here.
Right.
With Cincinnati.
Yes.
On the chance that we will get through and a massive portion of the rest of the entries will be toast.
Yeah. He's saying he predicted 150 people will be left if San Fran's out.
Oh, I think it. Yeah. He's probably.
Because some other teams will be out too.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. He's going for the jugular.
Yeah. So next week when we're out of the contest, we'll know that I wanted San Fran.
Okay. But you can't have that attitude because you understand why he's doing what he's doing.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
He's he's playing to win, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yes. You play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
Yeah. And I have a friend that has two entries left in Myrtle Beach. And he has two entries left. And yesterday he said, I would not sell for $50,000. I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
$50,000 each? He goes, no. He goes, because that does nothing for me. But $14 million does a little something
That's
for me.
That's correct.
That's what he said to me yesterday. He goes, I wouldn't sell for anything, crack. $50,000. I wouldn't entertain that at all. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, $14 million ain't $50,000.
Right.
And it's also the experience, the joy of playing, of having these mental gymnastics every week that makes it so awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome. The whole thing is. More with the crack man on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, at the top of the hour, right after a numbers game, stay tuned to VSiN for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown. Noon Eastern, top of the hour. Yesterday, after the show, I looked in the window and saw Stormy and Matt wearing cloaks of some kind. What are those two kids up to today? I don't know. Money Moves, top of the hour with Stormy and Matt. Then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. I am super sincere about this. You guys are the best. This is Keno Walker. I thought this was talking about the sports book delay stuff we were talking about earlier. Said, I thought this was an internet connection problem, but I was wrong. The books will actually freeze the line. Only way you know the line is moving is if you open your bet slip and keep refreshing. And they say, we cheat? Oh, Keno, it's a complete thing. It's not a secret.
They love
do.
Keno.
They
good
do
guy.
This thing. Yeah, absolutely. Chance Copperpot. I used to prefer my Seattle Sonics radio broadcast over the TV, so we turn the TV on with the volume down and have the radio going instead. And I want to say it almost synced up perfectly. It may have even been an intentional thing. Good to know on the 7 seconds. Thanks. Oh, dude. Here in Las Vegas, like the difference between Cox Cable and live.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a basketball game, it's like 2.5 possessions. It's ridiculous. Mike Boreale. Hope I'm pronouncing that right, Mike. Gil Albert Bell hit a baseball harder than any player I've ever seen. The ball rocketed off his bat.
Definitely.
Absolutely, man. How that guy's not in the hall, I don't know. Then we get some random ones. Brian Eaton. Salvador Perez for the Royals is an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know about
that. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
I know the name. I just,
I don't think of all of him. No. Oh, here's one from football. Loser Larry for Life says Bob Sanders is a good comp for Derrick Rose, in his opinion. Bob Sanders of the Colts, I assume you're referring to. Interesting. This is a good one. Daniel Cole certainly had other issues beyond injuries, but Josh Hamilton.
Definitely.
A good baseball great comp baseball for Derrick comp. Rose. Again, all this comes up because Derrick Rose retired. We were asking earlier if he's a Hall of Famer or not, and I was asking for, or someone asked about a baseball equivalent. Okay, this is great. Tronsky, John Osher says, talking about the Survivor Sweat website and that people are buying these for a premium. John Osher says, these jokers that are trying to sell their Survivor entries for more than implied value are trying to make a sucker out of someone else. When in reality, they will lose and be out in the next 3 weeks. Guaranteed, I don't think any of those sell.
Well, oh, you're very wrong, though, John.
John, here's the thing.
One just sold this morning.
Couple things here. I think you may have misunderstood. They are selling for a premium.
30,000 one sold, 90% of just in the last hour.
90% just sold for 30,000. Yeah. So the second part of what you're saying is incorrect. The first part, you're probably right about the first part, right?
Could be right.
You could be right about that. Most likely, they will be gone within a few weeks. But they're
week
selling.
Five.
But the reason that we're talking about, the reason that I'm so amazed is, usually when people buy a percentage, and this is usually much later in the season, right? We're talking about like 6 weeks left.
This is sick.
This is what, like, usually it's 6 weeks left. They're like, oh,
we're on week four.
I'll buy 10%, but at a bit of a discount than what the actual value is. Those are how those transactions usually go. What's amazing here is we're 3 weeks in to a contest where 95.5% of the entries are out, and people are legit, not just being offered. It's one thing to offer. I get what you're saying. They're buying them at a premium, which is mind-boggling.
I got a call. This really all started Monday morning. I got a call Monday morning from a different buddy. I have a lot of buddies down in Myrtle Beach there. And they're money guys, too. He called me up and said, are you still in Survivor? He says, well, I'm going to give you $5,500 for 25%. And I was like, I have a party. Hold on. He goes, no. Come on. We always do business. Goes, now I have to tell you, it's going to be a little more than that, Frankie. Sorry about that.
The market has spoken.
This is a business. The market has spoken.
Yeah. I don't know if we're talking on air or off air. I can't even remember now because our conversations bleed. But you were, you know, you said, I think at the end of the last segment, you're like, the guy wouldn't accept 50,000.
Yeah. Because
50,000.
My buddy David.
Yeah. I think
he wouldn't take 50 for, he goes, he told me yesterday on the phone, he goes, listen, no, I wouldn't take 50,000 for my entry.
But you know what? I think most people would be like that. Like, I don't even think you have to be someone of means to turn down the 50,000, because why would you have entered this contest in the first place to win 50,000? Maybe that does excite you.
Yeah.
And after 3 weeks, maybe it does, because you're like, wow, 3 weeks, 50,000, okay, I'll take it. But I think most people who enter this contest, that the 14 million, I think I said this on the Quest for 9.2 million doc, which is, there's all kinds of reasons why people won't chop or sell part of theirs. And one of those is the simple human brain emotion of, I can't not think about the $14
million. Huh.
The $14 million is so life-changing beyond anything I could have possibly dreamt of that even $50,000, which for some people is a large amount of money, especially in 3 weeks, my God, 3 weeks, you put down $1,000 on an entry or however many you bought, and you get $50,000. But I think that most people would be like, nah. I think most people are like your friend. They'd be like, nah, $50,000 sounds good, but
I'm the furthest thing away from a nit, N-I-T. The furthest thing. Well, I'm you know, very free with money, and I'm just kind of an idiot with money. But yet, I would entertain, like I said, double 44 or 50,000 because I'm in, I'll just tell you the amount. I'm in about 34,000 in entries and contests. Mm-hmm. So I figure, hey, I get my contest money. I was upset that I'm out this all this money early.
Yeah.
I lock up a profit of 16 grand and maybe just have a little sweat still because I'm still, of course, doing really well in the millions and in the Westgate Super Contest. But I think... Well, I'm not that I'm being a nit, but I wouldn't entertain it just to get out because I'm so mad I lost that kind of money that quick.
Or do you, instead of just selling the whole thing then, since it's going for a premium,
just
10% for, you're not going to get your full $34,000 back, but you'd get enough back where you'd start to feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
And you still got 90% in this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever percentage for whatever amount.
The number one seller there is actually the 1%, 2%. Guys have 1% and get in there for... But you're paying a premium. You're paying a 50% premium. So that person that said that, John Osher, he has a very good point.
But let's do the math. So John has a good point in terms of the amount it's going for, but not a good point about the fact that he goes, I don't think any of those sell because they are. So the 1%, think about it. So 1% right now at a 50% premium is a little over $300.
Correct. $333, okay? I think they said.
So for that 1%,
that's what they're selling
those
for.
People are thinking to themselves, okay, for just over $300,
yeah,
I will then have a shot at $140,000.
Right. For $300.
1% of 1% of $14 million. So
sounds like a
sure.
good deal. Now that you say it like that,
yeah,
and you put it into those numbers,
right?
That actually sounds like a pretty good.
Of course,
that sounds like a fun thing to do.
Or
$300,
or 10% for over $3,000 for a shot at $1.4 million.
Boy, I would hate to pay premiums.
Man,
though.
Are we giving this website business?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
making these guys richer.
Listen, it's a great idea. I would never have guessed they would go for premiums, and I'm not sure he would have guessed they would have gone for premiums.
Listen, I have one thing. It's also a borderline thing. I'm not trying to downplay the contest and stuff. A lot of people flew out here in the summer, 110, 115 degree heat. It was a terrible summer here.
Terrible.
To sign up for Circus Survivor, and they, you know, and most of them are out in 3 weeks. 95.5%, is that the right number?
95.5.
Is that bad for the contest
so
moving forward? Have we talked about this?
I brought this up Monday.
You know what I mean? Like, next year, Derek's going to up it to $15 million. Are you going to get there? Like,
I brought this up Monday because someone asked this. I think it's a valid question.
Is that bad for the contest moving forward?
I think it's a valid question because it's only been 3 weeks and 95.5% are out.
Yeah.
So it's valid to ask, hey, is the net effect of this bad? Are there going to be enough people who would have otherwise played who are like, you know what? Forget this. I'm not playing something that... You get knocked out in within 3 weeks.
Right.
But, you know, I think the real answer is it's only going to grow.
Oh, wow.
I don't
think
so.
So I'm
I
wrong.
Think it's an interesting question.
Right.
But I don't think so. I think most people hear this and are still sort of amused by this, the fact that it's so hard. All you're doing is picking a winner.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And one out
just
of 20.
You flew out here. You spent three. You spent airfare, hotel, you're paying, all this stuff. And 3 weeks, you're out.
Yeah, but they got to spend a weekend in Vegas.
I guess
with
a weekend
friends.
In Vegas. Last thing, Gil.
Yeah.
Gotta ask you. I don't know. I've been out to dinner with you multiple times, many times.
Yes, sir.
I don't think you drink. Do you not?
I do not.
You do not. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You had a problem or no? Okay. Anyway,
that's
no,
what everybody thinks, right?
No, me too. People think that too. So I just don't drink. I like to have every day wake up with a clear head the next day. So let me.
I
ask
just don't like the taste.
Yeah, I never started.
Right.
I may start Monday, but let me ask you this.
Yes.
Go out to dinner.
Yeah.
The bill you get order $500 in food, and the guy orders a $5,000 bottle of wine. He's worth $50 million, so it doesn't matter. Orders a $5,000 bottle of wine. What's supposed to be the tip on that bill? The way I was raised, it's pretty simple. The bill's $5,500. $5,000 is the bottle of wine. What are you supposed to tip?
You tell me. I don't know. I always thought
you just tip on the whole bill.
Yeah, of course you do.
18, 20% on the whole bill.
Oh, of course you
get the waiter $1,000.
I didn't know that's
first
what you're
of all,
asking.
You're worth $50 million.
Yeah, yeah.
I was out with someone recently that ordered a $5,000 bottle of wine.
And only tipped on the food?
And only tipped $100.
Oh, man.
And if there's a Bible there, I touched the Bible.
Did you say something?
No, okay, I'm not going to say something, but I definitely took a bulk of money and wrapped it up and handed it to the guy on the way out.
Oh, you did, yeah.
And I just didn't understand how this tipping thing works on wine. I just figured you're a wine snob.
Do you think about your friend differently now?
It is what it is.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Bill, thank you as always.
Hey, thank you guys.
Money Moves with Stormy and Matt Brown on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.